Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hey, it's Joe, and welcome to another episode of Test Talks. Today we'll be test talking with Laurent P., the co-founder and product manager for HipTest, all about how we can create more collaborative BDD. So if you're struggling with managing your BDD efforts or wish you had a central location for your BDD where everyone could contribute in creating a common domain-specific language, as well as help refactor changes across multiple teams spread out across the globe, if so, HipTest might be the tool for you. HipTest is an open-source modern test management collaboration platform for agile teams, and it was designed to help you deliver better software faster. So if you're doing any sort of BDD, I think you need to listen up. Check it out. Test Talks is sponsored by the fantastic folks at Sauce Labs, the cloud-based automated testing platform that eliminates the need to maintain your own Selenium grid and test infrastructure. Try it for free today. Visit testtalks.com and click on the Sign Up Now link under the homepage sponsor section. Hey, Laurent. Welcome to Test Talks.
Hi, Joey. Thanks for inviting me. That's a pleasure.
It's awesome to have you on the show. But before we get into it, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. I'm Laurent P. My nice accent comes from France. So currently, I'm leading the product management at HipTest for 2 years now. And prior to this, I founded a company named Smart Testing that has an offering in model-based testing. So we generate tests from business process models. So basically, I'm in the testing industry for 12 years now.
Awesome. Today, I'd like to go over your thoughts about test management with agile teams using HipTest. So we met at Star East this year, and I was really excited to learn about HipTest. I never knew about it, but when I saw it, I was kind of blown away that how I think this is a really cool product. I guess at a high level, for people that don't know about HipTest, can you just tell us what is HipTest?
Well, HipTest is a hybrid of a test management tool and BDD framework. So basically, as you know, behavior-driven development has a great momentum, is gaining traction. We've noticed that many teams have different needs, multiple needs, in fact. Some of them are doing manual testing, exploratory testing, and also test automation. So people are struggling with Cucumber, testing, Excel, trying to manage all these use cases. So that's the reason why we come up with HipTest and the idea to have a single platform, a simple platform in the cloud that supports real-time collaboration between product owners, testers, developers, enable them to capture the discussions around stories to create BDD scripts, so using the Gherkin syntax given when then, or write manual traditional scripts. And then HipTest will also enable them to manage the execution lifecycle, so manual execution or automated execution. Basically, it's a kind of all-in-one.
Awesome. So I'm just, because it's audio, it's not visual. I know you guys have a bunch of webinars, and I'll have that in the show notes. But can you walk us through at a high level how someone could create, how they would use HipTest for a BDD test? Or a BDD project, what the workflow is like?
Sure. So there are, two different workflows. The first one is if you have existing BDD tests, so written in Cucumber or GBA, FBAT, or whatever you use today, so you can import them into HipTest. And as I said, this is a simple platform available in the cloud, so that's easier for non-technical people like product owners, testers, business users to jump in and contribute to the discussions, to write scenarios, to modify BDD scenarios. And once you are, let's say, happy with the scenarios, with the acceptance test you have defined, you can use HipTest Publisher, which is an open source application that we have developed, and that enables you to create scripts from IPTest for various test automation frameworks. So basically, you can create scripts for Cucumber, GBA, Ruby RSpec, Jasmine, or Java JUnit if you don't do BDD at all. So that's really flexible. The idea behind is that you have described the behavior of your stories through different scenarios, and the same scenario can be exported in Java, in Ruby, in Cucumber, in Beat. So that's really up to you.
Great. Yeah. What I really love about it is when you're in there, if you already have a project up in the cloud set up, if someone's creating a new feature and they start writing a given when then, it has auto complete for you. So if there is a statement that already exists that's similar to what you want, it kind of helps you so you're not creating duplication. And what I've seen from myself working on BDD projects, this is a big problem. We have 8 to 10 sprint teams all across the world, and they a lot of times have a lot of duplication because for whatever reason, they don't look to know, hey, this given statement's already used elsewhere. So with this IDE, you type it in and it says, hey, here's a similar statement. Is this what you're thinking of? So I think it's a big time saver that way.
Absolutely. In fact, they are what we really like with BDD. So not only this is what we recommend to our customers and community, but we use ourselves BDD and IPTest to test IPTest. And what I like with this approach is that it empowers the team with a methodology to capture the behavior of the stories before investing time on the development. So you capture this behavior using given when then. And as I said, that's it's all about collaboration. So not only the developer should be able to write the scenarios, which is usually what happens, but also I'm a product manager. So I like to write these scenarios to describe and define the boundaries of a story before we start the development. But same thing with a business user. So all these people write and contribute to these BDD scenarios. And when you have not just one people, but many of them with different skills contributing to writing the scenarios, then you have quickly a problem with the duplication. So this is what you mentioned. And we have clearly identified this problem and wanted to address it with basically two different features. The first one you did mention is autocomplete. So basically you start writing your scenario. I don't know, I log into the platform. And as you're writing the step, you got this autocomplete suggestions. So you can reuse existing steps that have been already potentially automated by the developers. So you avoid the creation of steps that have the same intent, but that are written in different ways. The second feature that's really important is the refactoring. And this is part of the philosophy that we have of testing. You know, testing should be continuous, like your development process. We at IPTest, we are a DevOps team. We deploy continuously in production. So we do between 5 to 10 deployments a day. So we have to test continuously. So it means we have not only to automate all the tests, but sometimes when you have a new story, you impact, 50% of the existing scenarios. And you need this kind of refactoring features because you don't have time just to modify hundreds of scenarios manually. So yes, IPTest, the IPTest platform will basically empower non-technical users like the product owner or the business users with the same kind of capabilities that a developer would have with its own IDE. Except that it's not code and it's pretty easy to use. So autocomplete and refactoring are definitely very important if you want to scale your approach.
Awesome. Yeah, great points. And I think people that work on projects know even the smallest barrier to entry will discourage people from contributing. And I've seen with, like I said, so many like sprint teams working on the same project. To have a product owner opening up an IDE or even look in your version control is a barrier. And passing around text files isn't really going to work, or passing around emails for given when thens isn't going to work. So it almost sounds like, here's a URL, log in, there it is, do your thing. Seems like a great solution for that.
Mm. And that's interesting because, you know, we have the two different adoption use case. So some of the teams start with the testers. So they have identified eTest as a test management tool integrated with Jira. This is one of the main reason why people start trial with eTest. And then we see the developers comes in and start with the automation. And the second adoption use case is the developers that were using Cucumber or Behead before, for example, and they are struggling to involve non-technical people. So they're struggling to involve business users, product owners, or even QA to contribute to the project. And they see HipTest as a great platform to enhance this collaboration. So they still continue to use Cucumber as a test automation framework, but the place where the team will collaborate, discuss the features, capture the behavior is HipTest. So we see the two different approaches.
Great. So I just want to focus in a little bit more on refactoring. So I had a use case recently where it said, you know, as a radiologist, I would log into Rad Desktop, which was the name of the application. And then they renamed the application. So we had, you know, 100 feature files, and they all use that term, Rad Desktop. So we had to go into every single scenario and change the name to something more generic. Maybe that was just we didn't follow good practice when we created that from the beginning. But nonetheless, we had to refactor it, and it took us a long time. So how does HipTest help us with that type of refactoring? How does it handle that?
So typically, when you reuse an existing step using the autocomplete feature, you will see that this step is being used by, 100 scenarios already. And then you can click and navigate to this step, see all the scenarios that use it. And because you have a single point of maintenance, you can, for example, just rename the step, which is what happened in the case you mentioned just before. And all the scenarios will be automatically impacted. So that's the first level of refactoring. It's pretty simple to do, but that's a very common one and someone that we use extensively because, as you know, BDD is all about living documentation and specification. So you need to make sure that your steps remain, the name remain meaningful. So you have continuously to change the name of, for example, the name of the application, as you mentioned, or other steps. The second kind of refactoring that we see is basically you have one step that say, I introduce the card, MasterCard, and another one that say, I introduce the card Amex. And at some point, so that's basically two different steps. But at some point, you will have a third type of card and you will say, okay, maybe I should merge these three steps and just add a new parameter. So these are more complex refactoring techniques, but they always, so that's possible with HipTest, and that will enable you to have a better factorization of the steps. So it not only helps the maintenance, but then also it accelerates the automation because when you have to automate as a developer the steps, so you have to implement the test fixture, you won't have three steps to implement, but just one. And you will have the right design at the scenario level. That it doesn't make this way the implementation of the test fixture too complex, because you can have this kind of also factorization at the test fixture level, but that makes it much easier to create and maintain.
Awesome. Yeah, I like this point about making the given when thens meaningful. A lot of times if you work with a lot of sprint teams, one person may use one terminology, another one uses another, especially if you have a lot of turnover. And a lot of times if they're stuck in the IDE, they're afraid to make changes that'll impact what they call other people's features. So they end up making weird statements that are slightly different than what's already existing. So it almost sounds like this helps that type of fear because it'll catch all the other given when thens that have the same type of terminology, make the update for you. So you know that you're getting coverage without having to search through every single feature file to make sure you didn't break anything else.
Yes, absolutely. We have one of our very, that's a great customer case with Parkeon. So they have developed a huge ticketing system. It represents more than 100 man years of development. So it's pretty a huge system. And they decided to adopt the BDD approach and use IPTest. One of the main reasons was after the 2 years of development, there is a maintenance period. So they will have to transfer the application to another team. And the knowledge of the system is the BDD or the BDD scenarios. So having the ability, as you said, to have a unique domain-specific language, and you build this domain-specific language not right from the first time. So that's why you need to rename the steps. You need to do some kind of refactorings. It's just life, like code. I mean, there is no difference between your BDD scenarios, your scripts, and the code. So yeah, they use IPTest, and the main reason was build a right knowledge base that they could transfer easily for maintenance. And once again, that was a huge system. So this is clearly a very important point.
Awesome. Yeah, I know a lot of our sprint teams also, they don't build in refactoring into their sprints. So they end up saying, oh, we can't refactor because we didn't plan for that. But it sounds like, once again, that it's using a tool like this would help them so their velocity won't be impacted, yet they still get the benefit of refactoring by just using this particular tool. So, Laurent, how does this work? So it sounds like it creates a given when then for you, but how about the logic behind that when you actually have to write the code? How does that work with HipTest?
You mean when you have to implement the steps, when you have to
exactly
implement the automation?
Yes.
Okay, so the using IPTest Publisher, you will be able to create scripts for different various test automation frameworks. So IPTest does not force you to use a particular framework. As I said, you can use Java GUnit, Ruby, RSpec, Cucumber, Beat, whatever the team is familiar with. And this is a great point because developers don't want to be force using a particular language or framework, like, for example, Visual Basic. I don't want to name any specific tool, but they like to work with the same kind of technology they've used for their unit test, for example. So what IPTest Publisher will do is that it will extract the scenarios from IPTest and then create scripts. So there are two main files that are created. The first one, which is a file that contains all the feature files, so it's executable using every steps as a function. And then you have a second file that contains all the step definitions. So we create the skeleton of all these step definitions. And what the developer has to do and has to implement is the behavior of each of the test steps. So if you want to do test automation at the GUI level, you will use, for example, Selenium WebDriver. They can also implement these test steps calling a REST API. It really depends on the level of automation that you want to achieve as developer. But yeah, that's really flexible. Then there are the life cycle is really different between the two these two files. The feature file is generated each time you execute the test. So each time there is all this is triggered by the continuous integration. This is another important point I will describe just after. But basically, each time you have a new build, the CI will extract using IPTest Publisher the last definition of the scenario of the feature file from IPTest. We'll take the test steps. So all the implementation of the test fixture from the code repository, execute the test, and push the result back into IPTest. So one file is generated every time. The other one, the place where you implement the test fixture, this is definitely code. So the workflow and the place for this file to be is definitely the code repository, GitHub in our case, but can be Git, Bitbucket, or whatever you use for source control. This is code. I mean, one of the main point of discussions we have when it comes to automate tests with our community is it's the job of the developer. The guys who did code the application is the right person to work on the automation. It will be very difficult to build a test automation framework that scale if you don't have any development expertise in the team.
No, that's a great point. And for some reason, you know, I've been hammering this for years, and still some people just don't believe that. But I think in order to be successful with automation, especially as we move to more DevOps, more agile, shift left, shift right, you the developers need to do the automation for you to be successful.
Absolutely.
So another point you brought up, which I thought was a really good point, is, you know, we have a framework. We use Java and we use JBehave. And so we have, and because of our the output that we use for our compliance, we need to use one framework. And so we do have JavaScript front-end developers that are like, you know, I don't know Java. Be so much easier if I can use like Jasmine you know, stuff like that. We're like, no, it'll make it too complicated. You'll have, we can't have feature files all over the place and different IDEs. But this almost sounds like it would solve that because you can have your feature files all in one place. Doesn't matter what technology you're using. And then how it's implemented, it doesn't really matter. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And when you think about the philosophy of behavior-driven development, this is all about having discussions between developers and people that have the business knowledge. So the QA team, the business users, the product owner. And when you have these kind of discussions, the technology doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you use Java, if you use Ruby or whatever the language is for the implementation. So the framework that you use or the tool that you use to write your scenarios and capture this behavior should not force you to use a particular framework then to automate the test. That's why we have this vision of IPTest as a platform where all the people collaborate on the definition of done, and then IPTest Publisher as an open source application to extract the scenarios from IPTest and create scripts for all of the different test automation frameworks that exist in the market. So today we do support something like 20 frameworks, but as I said, it is open source. The application is based on a templating system, so it's pretty easily for you, Joey, to customize this. And if you use just an in-house and custom framework to customize IPTest Publisher in order to create the scripts for your framework.
Awesome. So another piece of this that you mentioned is you can run tests, and also there's reporting and metrics. So once again, what we're doing is I have a hacky Python script that runs at the end of CI that goes through some XML files and creates some statistics. So what kind of reports and metrics can you get out of this tool if you use HipTest?
So basically, you can have metrics for every test runs and then cumulative metrics by test runs. So basically, for one given test runs, you can, for example, one that would execute the test for your Java Jasmine application, you would be able to see the breakdown by status, which test is passed, which test is failed. And you can see also the stack trace when a test is failed. So, of course, that works with automated execution. But as I said, we do also support the manual workflow. So you can basically execute the same scenario that you have previously defined in IPTest. You can execute it step by step, assigning to a user. So every traditional feature you have with a test management tool, you basically have it with IPTest. So you will have this view in terms of breakdown. Now we, so you can, you have this view for every test run, and you also have a cumulated view for all your test runs. So you will see that for the regression test suite, here is the status. You have, I don't know, two failed tests. For the execution, manual execution for the current sprint, you have five failed tests, and all together you have seven failed tests. Then there is also something very important around execution time and estimation. So this is a brand new feature we are working on to enable team understand where they spend time when it comes to execution. So once again, it can be manual execution or automated execution. You know which test, how long does it take to execute this test, and how long it takes to execute all the campaigns. So testing times is also, especially when you do DevOps, is something really important. At some point, you don't want your test suite to take a couple of hours to execute before deploying in production. So that gives you the overview of where you spend times and maybe what you can optimize.
Awesome. So does it keep track of historical trends over time? Like this feature file is flaky. It passed, passed, failed, 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 passed, yeah. Passed.
So yes, we definitely have this. You can see for every scenario or every feature file, what's the history of execution. So yeah, you're able to identify the flaky test and maybe investigate and spend time on them to understand why those tests are failing from time to time.
Awesome. So I assume you guys must talk to a lot of companies because this solves a lot of the issues that I'm actually seeing myself. And I thought it was just my company. For example, even manual tests, what we do is we have a custom tag that is then mapped to an ID that's in ALM, HP's ALM. And then we have a custom tool that runs at the end that reads in the custom tag and goes to ALM and does a mapping and then generates a report. And it just sounds like that would be covered using HIP tests.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the main use case that we do see today in the market is teams that are leaving ALM or Quality Center using the Atlassian suite for as the ILM, and then looking for test management tool or a BDD framework for their testing, and that's the reason why they come up and use HipTest. And the way we have done and designed this integration with Atlassian, but we also it works the same way with Trello, with GitHub. Is using a real-time integration. We don't want duplication. What you mentioned with the tags is very interesting because we see people adding these tags and using these tags manually. So what we've done, for example, with Jira is that you pick up a scenario in HipTest, you do drag and drop. So you drop your scenario in the Jira issue and automatically that creates a links and a tag in HipTest so that you know this scenario is linked to a particular user story. You can navigate to this user story, and there is no duplication. So it means at some point, if you modify the name of the scenario or if you remove the scenario, the impact would be automatically done at the Atlassian, at the Jira level. So avoiding, you know, duplication of data, synchronization, which is always the mess. Having this simple and real-time integration is really helpful.
Awesome. So you didn't mention continuous integration and being able to run tests from within HipTest. Can you just go over that really quickly, what you meant by that or how easy it is to integrate continuous integration systems with HipTest?
Sure. So it's as simple as two command line. So with HipTest Publisher, you can integrate basically with all the continuous integration tools of the market. And it is as simple to use as two command lines. So the first command line will enable you to extract the feature files from HipTest. So you will get the last definition of the scenarios from HipTest. Then the CI will run the scenarios, and then you have a second command line, still using HipTest Publisher, that will push the results back into HipTest. So in HipTest, you will have in real time the status of the execution of the last build. And as I said, you can mix that with other manual test runs. So that's pretty flexible.
Awesome. So I just want to mention once again that the tool is open source, but for sort of, I think for a team of three and under, it would be free. And then you have it's very minimal, the amount you charge for teams, larger teams than that.
Yes, absolutely. It's less than $10 per user per month. And just to share some figures, we have today more than 7,000 users. So our community is growing pretty fast in more than 100 countries. So for me as a product manager, it's also a way to travel when I look at the world map and see where our customers are. That's always impressive. Yes, so that's a use case that behavior-driven development that's gaining a lot of traction. But also, as I mentioned before, we see a mix of team using BDD and other techniques. So that's why we think the future is not pure behavior-driven development, but more an hybrid approach between test management and BDD.
Oh, great point. Once again, it sounds like you guys really do speak with a lot of companies and really listen to their feedback, because that's exactly what I see in my own company.
Yeah, one of the things I used to say is when you want to test, the first thing you should test is the value before correctness. So what we do at TipTest, for example, as product manager, I decided to share the roadmap and the backlog of TipTest with the community. And for me, that's a great way to start testing the traction of the future features. For example, when I see, so people can subscribe to the board and vote for them. And if you have a feature that has, I don't know, 10 or 15 votes, maybe it's the beginning of something. And I should try as product manager to investigate more in these stories, start to write the BDD scenarios and make it a high priority. So there are many ways to test the value and the traction for a feature. And this is what I like to do before investing in the correctness of a feature. Because having a feature that is correct in production, but that nobody use, isn't really useful.
Absolutely. Okay, Laurent, before we go, is there one piece of actionable advice you can give someone to improve their BDD testing management efforts? And let us know the best way to find or contact you or learn more about HipTest.
So to learn more about HipTest, I suggest you to go to hiptest.net. You can sign up and start your project in seconds. So it's pretty easy. You will see that we create a simple project, sample project in BDD. So let's start with this simple project. Let's start to automate a first test. Integrate this first automated test with UCI. And once you have this in place, that will be a great first achievement. So let's make all the chain work for one simple scenario and then progressively add more and more scenarios. That's always a great way to start.
Thank you, Laurent, for your HipTest automation awesomeness. For links to everything of value that we covered in this episode, head on over to testtalks.com/114. And while you're there, make sure to click on the Sign Up Now free button under the exclusive sponsor section to learn all about Sauce Labs' awesome products and services. And while you're there, if this episode has helped you in any way, why not share it with a friend or coworker by sending them over to testtalks.com, or pointing them to the links to the free Test Talks app for both Android and iOS devices. So that's it for this episode of Test Talks. I'm Joe, and my mission is to help you succeed with automation awesomeness. As always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
For listening to the Test Talks podcast, head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.